was not similar.
Yeah.
Has to be said. Yeah, he did not look as good as he did against Atleti because, of course.
Yeah, I was not aware that Groeneveld moved. Interesting.
Yeah, you know, I just assume all of Bournemouth's transfers are terrible. It's like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll buy Dominic Solanke. He's good.
Remember when he was, like, big news? He was just giant prospect.
Yeah, left on, like, what, the compensation fee to Liverpool.
Yeah.
Did nothing, and then for some reason Bournemouth bought him.
Yeah, they went to a whole tribunal for him.
Yeah, and he was not good. Still not good, has to be said.
He's only 22, though, but we've been hearing about him for much longer.
I mean, he just doesn't score goals.
That is literally true. He literally does not score goals.
It's his one job, and he does not do that.
Hashtag, you had one job.
You had one job, and that was to score goals.
Well, Atletico had one job on Sunday, Rob, and that was to win at Valladolid. It was more like a task. And hard,
yes.
Arduous, difficult task. We are recording this before Barcelona take on Sevilla later on Sunday. By the time this comes out, you will probably know the result of that match, dear listener. But let's discuss as much as we can, as much as we want to, rather.
Yeah.
This match between Atletico and Valladolid finished goalless at the Jose Zorrilla. Yikes. That is now 3 goalless draws in 4 in the league for Atletico, Rob.
Not great.
5 straight clean sheets, though.
I mean, I guess that's good. It's crazy. This, frankly, last season the defense was pretty awful at times. But this year, with very little improvement other than the fullback area, just Savage and Jimenez have been unreal.
Yeah, and Felipe too. Mario Hermoso, again, not on the bench.
Yeah.
We mentioned this before, just looking very difficult for him. And it's understandable. I mean, Atletico with these 3 center backs right now are keeping clean sheets left and right. They've conceded only 45 shots in those 9 games. And 14,
well, and the
14
other,
of them.
The other tough part of it for him is you're not really, in an ideal world, going to have more than one center back on the bench.
Right.
And he's lost out in that role.
Yeah, you just typically don't need one. Those 45 shots over those 5 games, however, 14 of them came against Madrid.
Right.
So, Atletico, for the most part, are snuffing out chances. They conceded only 5 shots against Valladolid on Sunday. Of course, one of those was the penalty that Sandro Ramirez, so unfortunately for him, missed.
Speaking of guys that can't score.
Yeah, we have Sandro here, who hasn't scored in literally 2 years. Yeah, the penalty is probably going to be the most talked about thing from this game because we have another instance where VAR does come into play and it kind of overrules the initial call from the referee, Sanchez Martinez. So this took place around the 30-minute mark. Atletico are trying to get the ball out of the box. Thomas Partey tries to poke the ball free, inadvertently catches Sandro's ankle. He trips over his teammate Tony Villa. Play stops. The initial call was no penalty, but after a pretty somewhat lengthy review, the penalty is given. And then Sandro steps up to take it, which if he scores this, that's just such a huge thing for his confidence. But he steps up. The ball takes a sort of bounce. It takes a sort of bounce off the ground, and he tried to tuck it under the crossbar, and he ends up skying it, just missing everything. And you don't know how much that bounce had to do with it, but it was a huge let off for Atletico. You know the old saying, men lie, women lie, but the ball don't lie.
Indeed.
The ball
yes,
does
indeed.
Not lie. It wasn't a penalty. It wasn't intentional. There was some contact, but Thomas clipped him. Like, it wasn't this crunching tackle in the box without any intent to get the ball. It wasn't a tap, but he did clip him, though I don't believe it was a penalty. The initial call was correct in a game that I thought the officiating was pretty poor in.
Well, considering, 7 Valladolid players got booked?
Yeah,
it got a bit out of hand.
There were 12 yellow cards in this game, 7 for Valladolid, including one for their manager, Sergio.
Yes, so everyone was getting booked.
And Simeone got a pretty stern talking to in the first half as well for a foul that could have been a red card on Tony Villa. Really cynical challenge on Morata.
Yeah, Morata was getting kicked all over the shop today.
He drew four yellow cards alone.
Yeah, and I mean, we can talk about that substitution, but I do wonder if him getting kind of kicked to pieces, especially coming off that injury, was part of the reason.
Possibly.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the only explicable reason to take him off rather than Diego.
Because he was the better forward, and I don't think it was really that close. Morata was the better forward. He had a really good chance. Just before the hour, Koke flicked it into him in the box on his run, and he kind of hit Jordi Masip in the face. Didn't really know what hit him, the goalkeeper. He was down for a minute, but eventually got up. Morata, I thought, was fine overall.
Yeah, no, I think he was good. There's still some signs of rust in terms of him coming off that injury and having some time out, but this international break might be good for him. I don't know. Was he called up by Spain?
He was not. Saul was the only Atleti player called up by Spain.
So that might be a good thing for him. Get a little bit of a rest in.
Yeah, and you look at what Morata did. The three shots completed 92% of his passes, and Morata's not known as a strong passer. He won four headers. He was fouled five times.
Yeah, and he got a bunch of shots in. I mean, it's sort of he was the leader in teams and in the team in terms of shots. None were particularly great opportunities. I mean, he probably had the best chance there just a little bit after halftime.
No, you have his chance, and then you have Correa's chance 10 minutes from time.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not even mad at Correa. I'm not even mad at him. When you have a game that falls to him, it's not really Correa's fault. You know, when you have a situation where you're relying on Angel Correa to win you a match, you weren't doing enough to begin with. And this was a really good chance, and just a bit of bad luck for him. Settled down the ball that was kind of bouncing around in the box. Really good first touch, just killed it dead. And then smacks this off the post. Masip was totally flat-footed. Just one of those things. Just smacked it right off the post.
Yeah, you're right. It is one of those things. You can't really be too upset with him about that. He had the chance, though. I mean, that Morata chance was probably the best one, all things considered. But
yeah, Atleti had a couple good chances, but I think the first half was really, that's a situation where you got to score in the first half of this game. And play was just so slow because it was so physical, and Sanchez Martinez very quickly lost control of the game, handing out a yellow card to Nacho in the second minute. And that's really where... That's my dryer going off, sorry.
No, you're good.
Yeah, handing out two yellow cards in the first 10 minutes to Nacho and Tony Villa, that kind of set the tone for a game that, again, saw 12 yellows. He just didn't really have control at all, and there were some calls in the second half that would have been fouls or yellows or free kicks in the first half. I mean, it was just very inconsistent, and it contributed to a really choppy, slow game.
Yeah, it was not a great match, for sure. I think there were some decent individual performances. I mean, the main thing is the defense, which, again, was really good. But, yeah, this is a match you need to win.
And that's the only positive, is that the defense was good again. This was, between this and the Celta draw at home, one of those two games has to be a win. Like, that's not up for debate, I don't think. One of those two games has to be a win. And to not win,
I think the Celta one was kind of the more egregious result because it was at home and Atleti had way more chances in that one.
They did. I mean, just one shot on target from Atletico in this game, though, is exceedingly poor.
True.
Valladolid also had one shot on target. This was not a good game. If you didn't watch it, you didn't really miss a ton. I mean, this was a really, really poor game. I mean, we still have some things to talk about, but this was just... There are very few performances in the past couple years as bad as this one.
Yeah, I mean, these kind of games can happen. I don't know. It just was very disjointed. I was suspicious of it to begin with, but I'm now pretty as confident as ever that the Costa Morata up front thing is not the way to go.
And I do want to talk about that in a minute. Because I have thoughts on Diego Costa. But we talked about this really throughout the summer while this overhaul was going on, that there are going to be speed bumps, that that Atleti may look brilliant at times and they may look horrible at other times. And it looks like that's the case. That's happening. The perfect start was, in a sense, a false dawn, it appears, because Atleti have won just once in the past five in La Liga, with three draws and a loss, the loss at Real Sociedad. They have hit quite a few speed bumps here. There is an idea of what to do in attack. Atletico are not totally clueless in attack. There is an idea, there is a plan. A lot of the play is going through the fullbacks, particularly in the second half. Kieran Trippier took a ton of touches. Not quite as precise on the ball as he has been, just 65% pass accuracy. So there is an idea of what to do. Get the fullbacks into advanced positions, give them cover through Koke, and unfortunately for him, João Félix. But cross the ball into the box, run your play from the flanks, and go from there. So Atletico are not just, you know, throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if it stays there, if it sticks. But seven goals from eight in La Liga, no matter how you slice it, that's unacceptable. Unacceptable for a team with this kind of talent.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, it's more of a consequence of all the new players that have come to the squad and not really knowing where all the pieces fit together. I think another thing we sort of have learned, and certainly this game put it on display, is João Félix is not a winger, and definitely not a winger in a flat 4-4-2 that Atleti often play. He needs to be further forward, and he needs to have a freer role. He cannot end up in the sort of Lamar vortex of being extremely talented but forced to do Simeone things.
Yeah, it is a vortex. And yeah, he is doing Simeone things. The first half in Russia, he provided a ton of cover for Santi Arias. This time he was providing a cover for Renan Lodi on the other flank. And against Lokomotiv, he was freed up in the second half and contributed to both goals. But this time, he couldn't get going. Took 20 touches in 60 minutes. Really poor pass accuracy. No shots. Not really much aggression. He comes off, and it's a frustrating game for him. Again, there are going to be questions that we're going to ask about Simeone and what his plans are for him and what he sees him as. Because he is a versatile player, and he can do a lot of things. He has vision. He can dribble. He's really, really skillful. He can score goals. But where is he going to play? You know, he's not a natural winger. I don't think he's a waste out there, but playing him behind the two strikers, I think, is really the best place for him. Or playing him as a second striker, sort of in that Griezmann role that he used to occupy, that's the best place for him. You can't really stick him as a flat winger, as you said.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think as a second striker or a number 10, I mean, you could even, I mean, the comparisons with him and Ronaldo are dumb, but the sort of Ronaldo free role on the left wing, I think he could flourish in as well. But that's, of course, not just a traditional winger role. That's a more free role that allows him to drift inside and do a lot of different things.
Like, dude, Cholo, just play him behind Costa and Morata. Like, this is not... Yeah. I don't think this is terribly difficult, but...
And especially when you have... You're going to play Tomas, Saul, and Koke no matter what, so yeah. Just play them as a three.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing.
So how much do we not blame, but how responsible is Cholo for what's going on right now? I mean, Atleti, again, seven goals from eight league games, which is just, again, abysmal. They've scored three times on the road this season in four games away from home. How much do we place responsibility on Cholo? Is it more down to the players themselves?
Yeah, I think there's been some funkiness in terms of the team selection and the substitutes. We were starting out the season really praising Cholo because I thought he did a great job with his substitutes. They were coming on, making an impact. Whereas now, it's like, the subs today, I mean, granted, there wasn't a ton of attacking options on the bench. And I think that's probably the biggest issue, is you really are only able to bring off Correa or Lamar, really, if you want to have an attacking option. And neither of those guys have been on form for a year plus. So yeah. It's not really an impact sub.
Yeah. Woo, boy, do Atleti miss Vitolo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
They miss Vitolo. Hopefully he is back after the international break, though. the hamstring injury he has. You never know how long hammies can keep someone out for. Could be 2 weeks, could be, you know, 6 weeks. Hopefully Vitola comes back as soon as he can, because he's just, he's such a switchblade. He's such a weapon, and he gives Atleti a drive, a versatility, technical ability that, I mean, really, a more consistency, honestly, than Correa has, a more drive than Lemar has.
And Atleti, I think, are also missing a decent third striker. I mean, not like a high-quality striker, but just someone that could give you a different kind of look off the bench. I mean, obviously, Nikola Kalinic was never good, but he was at least an option.
Could have signed Rodrigo Moreno.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been a pretty expensive deal for knowing that Cholo's going to keep playing Diego Costa.
yeah, and speaking of Costa, he is kind of the case study for why, or for the argument that Atletico right now is not a meritocracy. Costa is kind of the poster boy for that debate. He's past it. I mean, he doesn't have really much left in the tank. The preseason, I'll stop short of calling it a mirage, but that's not Diego Costa. That was not him. Based on what we've seen so far this season, he just wasn't good at all. I know he hasn't gotten much service. I know that Atleti are still figuring things out in attack, and he's not getting much service, but there are things he can control, and there are things he can do that he's not doing. His first touch has just completely left him. He's missing headers. He can't even stay on his feet. He's tripping all over himself. I mean, there are things that Costa can do to make life easier for him. He's got one shot on target this season, Rob. One. That's it.
Extremely bad. And since he's returned to the club, he has 13 goals in 51 matches in all competitions.
In all competitions.
That's bad.
Yeah. You don't pay 66 million euros for that.
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Chelsea got the better end of that deal.
Oh, absolutely. They really did. I mean, they got, not only did he win them two league titles, he then made them a ton of money.
Yeah, he should be a Chelsea legend. He really.
I mean, I think he is.
Yeah, they got the most out of that Costa deal. I don't think there's really, at this point, there's really not much argument to it. He's not good anymore. And that's the key point, and those who want to argue, and I see their point, definitely, that this is not a meritocracy, that this is not a case of who's working hardest or who is the best fit in various games. This is stubbornness. Simeone praises Costa really any opportunity he gets when asked about him in press conferences. Just keeps saying he's important, he doesn't want him to leave. It's no coincidence that Atletico have won titles since his return in the Europa League and in the Super Cup. But his attitude is all he's got, and even then, he does walk that tightrope between, you know, getting booked and getting suspended. I guess the only positive is that he is fit, but even then, it doesn't really matter because he's not good. And there were the links, the reports this week that Al Rayyan in Qatar are starting negotiations with him. They want to bring him in the winter, if not then in the summer. Don't know how true that is or what is going to come of that, but that's Costa's level now, is it not?
It seems that way. I mean,
It seems that way, at least.
Well, and you can't imagine that clubs in the Gulf typically don't pay, like, China-level transfer fees.
Right.
So you'd think it would have to be, like, Atleti do him a favor and let him go. I mean, I don't know. It feels like that is his level, but it would be such a monumental loss that Atleti would have to take to get rid of him.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we don't know what a transfer fee would be, but a lot of the money that a club like that would dole out is through wages. And that makes up for the lack of a substantial transfer fee. And Atletico have to negotiate that. If it is true, they have to negotiate that with Costa. Makes a lot of money. His contract is up in less than 2 years. He's not that good anymore. Cholo loves him and is loyal to him to a fault. And I think a further argument for this not being a meritocracy at the moment is that Marco Llorente isn't getting on the pitch. Mario Hermoso isn't making the squad. Hector Herrera has played less than 100 minutes this season. He got time on Sunday, but these are guys who were supposed to be key to this rebuild and key to this rejuvenation, this not necessarily a youth movement, but a real reinvention, a reimagining, and they're not playing. And guys like Saul are undroppable, and Saul, again, is struggling for form. Same with Costa.
Yeah, absolutely. And you feel like someone like Marcos Llorente or Hector Herrera has to be chomping at the bit to get into this team, seeing that these performances by Saul haven't been really up to the standard.
Not even. No.
I mean, Koke hasn't been brilliant, but he's the captain of the club. He's going to play. It's just how it is. But the thing with Saul is he should be offering more. I mean, Koke is the connector of both ends of the team, but Saul isn't even really doing that.
And Koke gives Atletico a lot of cohesion, and he does things that hold everything together. And he has become a leader. He's the captain. He came off on the hour on Sunday a bit surprisingly, but that's only surprising because Koke plays every minute usually. It's difficult, but at the same time, there do seem to be solutions that Cholo is either not seeing or not acknowledging.
Yeah, indeed. It'll be interesting to see what happens after the international break. I mean, I imagine it's just going to be more of the same. But I would hope for Valencia it's just going to be Morata up front. I mean, we'll see. I think the really telling thing will be if Costa plays against Valencia.
Yeah. Atletico do have Valencia after the international break at home. That looks like a toughie. Valencia usually do give Atletico a very good game, but no more Marcelino. So
yeah. That was a choice they made.
That was indeed. Then you have the Champions League against Leverkusen, also at home. Atleti have actually three straight home games coming out of the break, because then you have Leverkusen and then Athletic after that.
Yeah, Athletic have been in a bit of a rough patch in terms of form recently. So
yeah, they lost to Celta on Sunday.
Not great. Not great. And they did not look good doing it either.
No, they got off to such a great start, but as sometimes is the case with Athletic, with a club that has, you know, such little turnover, this can happen. They have rough patches.
Raul Garcia is their top goal scorer.
That is
He's a 1-2 man.
That is a plus.
Yep. Four goals in 8 games. Not bad at all, sir.
Still love him. He could still play for Atletico.
Oh, yeah. We'd have him back.
No doubt he can still play for Atleti.
Maybe a swap for Costa. Could we tell them that Costa's Basque? He's already changed nationalities once. Like, we could just tell him he's Basque now.
Why can't he do it again? No, seriously, guys. Exactly. He has a great-grandfather who was born in Pamplona.
There you go. There you go. Perfect. He's all yours, Athletic. They won't think too hard about it.
One last thing as it pertains to the responsibilities that may or may not fall on Cholo. Again, Atletico are struggling to score goals away from home. Again, this is an issue. It has been an issue for multiple seasons now, really dating back to 2016. This is going back on 3 seasons now where Atletico, 3-plus seasons, where Atletico just cannot get goals away from home. It's a struggle. And why? True. Why is that?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, you do struggle to think about. I mean, there have been some outliers in that time. I mean, there have been some big results. I think of, like, there's one against Levante a couple of years ago where they won like 5-0 or something. But those are pretty few and far between.
Yeah, there was that 5-0, which was a total shock because Atletico hadn't won there in a decade, and then all of a sudden they go and put up 5. That's kind of the aberration, though, is Atleti just really are defensive away from home. And I tweeted about this after full time. There has been this narrative in the past few years that Atletico are purely all defense all the time. They focus more on keeping the other team out of the goal rather than scoring goals themselves, rather than focusing on that. That really hasn't been true, but this season it is more true. It is truer than it has been in the past.
Yeah, sort of in the last three-ish seasons, that hasn't been the case because the defense has largely been not good due to the aging of the fullbacks and kind of chopping and changing with the young central defenders. This season, it's much more set in terms of what the back four is. And I would say all four plus Felipe are quality, whereas now the going forward, it's a bit more of a question mark.
Yeah, the defense...
I mean, you knew Griezmann was going to play every week, but other than that, there was a bunch of other options that were around. I mean, we've gone through Carrasco and Gaetan and Gamero that weren't great, but they did stuff.
Yeah, the defense is better. Oblak is making fewer saves than he's had to make the past 2 years, but now you have to sort out the attack. And as I said earlier, there is an idea as to what to do. Atletico aren't just totally, you know, clueless out there. They're not just hoofing long balls all over the place. There is an idea. There is a plan. It's just not being executed.
Yep.
And
agreed.
There is this desire to change things up, to be newer, to that's not the greatest way to phrase it, but there is this, I guess, modernize in a sense, to continue progressing, to really finally put that foot forward and leave some elements of the past behind, but it's not coming off. At least yet, it's not coming off.
For real.
Yeah. So.
It's a shame. It's a shame, but you feel like it's something that could potentially improve.
I keep saying this. Atleti are a real enigma. They're a real enigma trapped in a mystery, or however the turn of phrase is. An enigma wrapped in a mystery. We don't know what they're going to be. We know what they were the first few weeks of the season. We know what they are right now. But where are they going to be in a month, 2 months, 3 months? Where are they going to be in the springtime? We still don't have a great beat on them. They could end up challenging for the league, even though they've dropped a lot of points to Madrid and Barcelona in the past few weeks. They could end up challenging for the league. They could get on a real hot streak. They could also slide a bit further. I mean, there is a chance that Atletico are going to be fourth entering the international break. At the end of the first international break, Atleti were atop the table.
Yeah, and while that's true, I mean, I think you take it considering that Barcelona are in fifth and Granada are the team in fourth, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's concerning, I guess, in some ways, but I feel good about the qualification for the Champions League at this point. Even though it's so early in the season, I never really expected them to compete for the title, so I find it hard to be disappointed about that. This team is going to figure itself out the more the season goes along, we hope, but at this early stage, I'm not tearing my hair out about it.
Yeah, don't punt on the season yet. I mean, there are going to be more twists and turns. That's kind of part and parcel of what Atleti are going through right now. There are still going to be twists and turns. So don't give up hope just yet, if anyone is considering it. Don't give up.
Nope. And Champions League has been very exciting thus far, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. Indeed it has. Well, we have the international break coming up, and we'll be covering it a little bit. We'll be doing the pod over the break, and Atleti come back in 2 weeks. They play Valencia at home, and perhaps we'll see a different team. But regardless of whether they are different or not, we will be here to talk all about it. We'll also be on the Patreon page doing bonus pods over the break. So be on the lookout for some hashtag content there. In the meantime, that'll do it for this edition of Colt Chinero Chat. Rob, unless you have anything else.
No, sir. It was a pleasure.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. I'd like to thank him for coming on this edition of the pod, as he does frequently. You can follow me on Twitter at jbbaron. You can follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook as well. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program, Colt Chinero Chat. This is our 180th episode, if you've been keeping track. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, other platforms, not yet Spotify, but we are endeavoring to get Colt Chinero Chat on Spotify. As mentioned earlier, check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/Colt Chinero Chat, for some bonus content that we will be delivering over the break and beyond. Talk to you guys next week. Until then, adios.